Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World-Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Waverly Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And a line shot scooped up by Bogaerts to second for the force play. And that one in the win column for the Boston Red Sox. And that will do it. Red Sox win it. They take game one against the Oakland A's. TC.
Standards are low right now. What can I tell you? Standards are low. So I'll take any win you can get, even one in which you had to bring your closer into a 9-4 game because the tying run got into the on-deck circle in the ninth inning. How do you like that? Last night, Red Sox tried to go without using Matt Barnes last night. They had to bring him into the game. They had to bring him into the game because they loaded the bases in the ninth and the tying run was in the on-deck circle. They won the game 9-4, the final over the Oakland A's. And if you want to talk Red Sox, now's your time to do it. 617-779-0985. We'll open up the phone lines right away because this is where we're going to begin. Alex Cora made a comment after last night's game that I found both refreshing and hopeful, and at the same time, thought was disingenuous, if you can believe that. And the whole comment really lasts like 5 seconds. Jimmy, how long is that cut? Any idea?
Seven and a half seconds.
He said two things that really I found, again, in one way refreshing, in the other way I found it to be a little disingenuous.
That's a lot from a seven-second clip.
It is, which is why we're going to play it for you, and then I'm going to explain. So I appreciate you teeing me up like that, Murray. Again, 617-779-0985. We have an abbreviated program tonight because of the Bruins playoff game. So if you want to talk Red Sox, now is your chance to do it. Okay? Here is what Alex Cora said after the game last night in response to the question of maybe this game and this victory being some sort of building block or, dare I say, springboard for the Red Sox.
I don't know. It's just one game, you know. I'm not going to get caught up on we're getting better. We will be better. It's just one day. We play good today.
Okay. That's it. That's the whole statement. So why would I find that refreshing? Because he's not taking the cheese. And he's not sitting there saying, oh, yeah, you know, I feel like we're close.
We're back.
I feel like we're getting, you know, we're close. We just need to click and we're going to be fine. No, no. Enough with the bull crap. This isn't about one night. It's never been about one night. Anybody can play well for one night. The question is, can you do it in and out over and over and over again? Can you string two games together and then four games together? And then can you play well for weeks or months or really a whole season like they did last year? So I'm not taking the cheese. You can if you want, because I know people looked at that game last night and said, wow.
We're back.
Down 4-0 in the early innings. They rally, they come back, they win 9-4. Now, that's a good sign. I fell for that last week.
There were still red flags from that game last night. The offense
was hold on there, Murray. Yeah. Hold on, because I'm glad you're saying that. But we all have seen them have good wins this year. They've had plenty of good wins. And by that, I mean wins that showed some sort of character, which brings me to the second part of Cora's comment. Go, Murray.
Well, I think that if you look at that game, okay, yeah, you could just on the surface be pumped about it, but there's issues there because there's always something going wrong with this team so far in 2019. And last night, the starter goes, Rodriguez looked like, you know, Rodriguez when he's not going great, where he's close to 100 pitches by the time it's the, you know, 4 2/3 innings. So that's not good. And while the bullpen gives up one hit, they walk five or six guys in. Only struck out three, so there's an issue there, too. So, I don't know. It was a good win, yeah, against a good team. Oakland's good, and they were finally hitting again. But there's still some issues there.
Okay, and that comment by Cora, it ended with him saying, we played well tonight. Did they?
Yeah, see, that's where it is. I understand where you're saying it's disingenuous, because they're... It was a good win, but there were still some flaws.
So that's my question to you, the Red Sox fan, if you're driving home tonight. Do you think they played well last night? Because I don't. I don't. Murray just rattled off a bunch of things for you. Eduardo Rodriguez couldn't get through five innings. He had the chance to get a win and couldn't do it. The bullpen came in and made mistakes, and there were other mistakes too, which we'll get to in just 1 second. But first, Mike in a car. Mike, go.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's still a lot wrong with this Red Sox team, and I know Eddie didn't have a great outing last night, but I still think he was strong. You know, getting batted up a little bit in the beginning of the game, and then that changeup of his is pretty nasty. I think he's coming on, and that's something to, you know, look forward to.
Okay, so look, he didn't have his changeup for most of the outing last night. It did. There were a couple that he threw at the end that got a little bit better as the game went along. But again, I look at the big picture, and I say, well, wait a minute. Your starter went 4 2/3. You walked 7 guys as a staff. And Murray pointed out the bullpen was like pin the tail on the donkey last night. Brandon Workman, I think, has walked a dozen guys this year already. It's like a guy an inning. Brandon Workman can't throw a freaking strike to save his life. So they walked 7 guys. They threw 2 wild pitches to start it and couldn't get through 5 innings. And your quote-unquote comeback rally... Was that really a rally, or did the A's just suck worse than you did last night? Because the way I remember it, that inning went like this.
Now, Montas actually has several connections to the Red Sox over and above the fact they had him initially. Bounding ball profile, low throw, and it skitters by Semien, and everybody's going to be safe.
That's going to be at least one out. I thought they were going to turn it. If he could make the exchange, that's a double play ball. You got to make him pay.
3-2 coming. Rolled on the infield. Morales will scoop it, get it to the pitcher, and no, he's safe. Came off the base, and it's all loaded up.
Boy, the Red Sox catching a break, back-to-back double play ball, and then a weak ground ball that turns into a base hit.
Base is loaded. Shot into center field. Laureano got fooled on it. It's over his head. Out of the triangle. Here comes Benintendi. Here comes Betts. Bogaerts into second base. Laureano came in, and then he had to flee.
2-run score, and did those 2 errors cost them, or what? And it's not done yet.
I mean, really, what was it? Was this a comeback, or did the A's just give you 6 outs in the 3rd inning? Because to me, that's how I remember it. For those of you that didn't watch the game, Zhu Weilin hit a ground ball to second base that Jurickson Profar threw into the ground. This is the same Jurickson Profar, by the way, that if you remember the series out in Oakland earlier in the year, chucked one about 10 feet over the head of the shortstop on a double play ball. Okay, so that's mistake number 1. Then Benintendi hits a little dribbler to first base, and the pitcher missed the bag. He missed the bag. Otherwise, Benintendi's out because the ball beat him. So that's 2. And then after singles by Betts and J.D. Martinez that made the game 4-2, Bogaerts hit a ball to center field that Ramon Laureano, who was gunning down Red Sox like nobody's business out in Oakland, Laureano broke in on, then turned around and ran back and went over his head for a double. They tied the game. Now, the Red Sox went on to score more in that inning. Chavis had a hit, and they went up 6-4. But how many outs did the A's give them? So, look, they took advantage. I'll give them credit for taking advantage. But really? They shouldn't have scored in the inning at all. They should have now 4-0. And without that inning, they lose. So again, Cora said at the end of his comment, we played well tonight. I don't think they did. I think the A's just played worse. I really think that that's what it comes down to. And there were other mistakes too. Even on plays where the Red Sox got outs, they were doing the wrong thing. Okay, go ahead, Mark.
Well, it's just easy to be blinded by the fact they came back. Chavis has been a good spark in that offense. And, you know, he's been a blast to watch in terms of the offense, but it wasn't great. It wasn't particularly well pitched, more than anything else. That was the thing that stood out to me.
Oh, God, it was awful, let alone the time of game. Like, it was 2 hours, and we were in the 5th inning. I mean, again, it was not a well-played game. Ben's in a car. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, loving Michael Chavis. I think he's really helped the batting lineup get going, you know? Is there an arm that they can add maybe to help the bullpen get going? Because it's a mess out there.
So, Ben, Chavis has given him some offense. Where would you play him in the field, just out of curiosity?
I mean, I like him all right at second, maybe at first, but really, truly, I mean, I think he spells Devers most nights.
So you want Devers out of the lineup?
Maybe you DH him.
Okay. So, and I'm just asking because Devers, oddly enough, I think is hitting right around 300. I mean, you know, Devers, he's not hitting for power, but Devers offensively has been fine. Now, defensively, he's been a train wreck. So, you know, I look at it and I say, the problem with Chavis is finding a spot for him to play. And again, there's a discrepancy there because the best spot for Chavis is one of the corners. I actually thought he looked half decent at first base last night. But the best spot for Chavis is one of the corners. Third, where they have Devers and is one of your younger players. And I actually didn't even realize that Devers is younger than Chavis. So keep that in mind. Okay, Chavis is a more advanced player in a lot of ways because he's older. And then, you know, first base, well, you got Pierce, who's been garbage here in the early part of the year. You have Moreland. So Chavis looked okay to me at first base last night, but the best place for him and for the team is second base, which I'm not sure he can play. So that's going to be sort of on the job training. And Murray, I think you said he's back at second base tonight, right?
He is.
Chavis
is.
He played first base last night. So we'll see how that one shakes out. Let me squeeze in one more call. Someone who doesn't like my point of view. David's in Quincy. Go ahead, David.
Hey, guys. Hey, just one question. I understand the microscopic breakdown of the per inning, what happened last night. And we could have done the same thing last year when they were winning, you know, 11 out of 12 games. Real quick question. Do they make the playoffs?
So, David, I still think they're going to get in. Do you?
Absolutely, because it's a 182-game season and they have the talent. And right now things aren't going well and there are things that need to be fixed. But do you think anyone needs to be traded or let go from this team, or they need to pick anything up, or they need some help to make the playoffs, or do you just stick with what you have and move forward?
Okay, so look, again, it's April 30th.
He added 20 games, too.
It's April 30th, so I'm not ready to trade anyone yet. And again, we do daily talk shows here. That's what we do. So when the team plays badly, we say bad things. When they play well, I tell you to watch out because they could blow it in October. That's usually how it works.
I'm still okay? A no for the record, by the way.
So, now look, do I think that they're a playoff team? I thought that coming into the year. I didn't think that they would win the division. I thought the Yankees would, and I still feel that way. Do I think the Red Sox are better than they've played? Yes. If they don't snap out of it in the next 2 or 3 weeks, would I do something to shake up the roster? Sure. Would I trade Jackie Bradley? Yep. Would I trade other guys on the roster? Maybe a starting pitcher, Rick Porcello? Yep. I would. Do I think it's going to come to that? I hope not. And as for Chavis, he looked better at first base last night. He did. He looked better at first base. I have my concerns with him at second because he hasn't played it. It's not his fault. But he's not the most agile guy in the world. And you do have to be able to turn a double play, which in the late innings the other day on Sunday, he couldn't do. Boy, he chucked over Moreland's head by about 10 feet on a ball he probably should not have thrown at all. And last night, he got celebrated at least a little bit for making a good play. And the truth is that even on that, he made a mistake. We'll explain what that was when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Broken back ground ball. Snagged by Chavis down to second and out there. Back to first and got him. The Red Sox turn two.
Chavis decides just to take a throw to second, not touch first. You see it right here. The bag is right there. He decides to throw to second. Do it the hard way. Back from bogey, double play. End the inning.
If you want to talk Sox, now's your chance to do it. 617-779-0985. You got a few more minutes here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Bruins pregame. So if you want to get in on the Red Sox, now's the time. Again, we have an open line or two, 617-779-0985. Before we get back to your calls and before we get to that play, Michael Chavis turning a 3-6-3 double play last night. I want to give you the Big Y matchup of the game, brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Aaron Brooks is pitching for the A's in this game. Xander Bogaerts has great numbers against this guy. Only four at-bats, but three hits, all doubles. Rafael Devers is the opposite, 0 for 2 with two strikeouts. Okay, so Bogaerts in the positive, Devers in the negative against Aaron Brooks. Meanwhile, I don't have the A's lineup in front of me. I don't know if one of you guys can tell me. But if Marcus Semien is in the lineup for Oakland, he's 0 for 15 with four strikeouts in his career against Rick Porcello. 0 for 15. Like, you get to 0 for 15, it wouldn't surprise me if he's sitting tonight. Like, honestly, I probably should look that up. I'm sure the lineup's out. It's definitely out. So I don't know if Semien's in there, but Porcello owns him. So those are your Big Y matchups of the day. The play by Chavis, it sounds good, 3-6-3 double play, and it looked good last night in the sixth inning. And when I say it looked good, it's a 7-4 game at the time. The A's have a runner on first. Again, Ramon Laureano, the center fielder who guns down any moving Red Sox on the bases. Laureano's at first. Jurickson Profar is at the plate, hits a ground ball to first base. Chavis has to go to his left to field the ground ball. And you heard Eckersley say it there in the broadcast. The base was right there. I mean, what he should have done is fielded the grounder, stepped on the bag, thrown to second. And Bogaerts would have tagged out Laureano, who was maybe halfway to second, because the ball was hit relatively sharply. It wasn't smoked, but Chavis had plenty of time. Instead, Chavis caught the ball, spun, threw it to Bogaerts, who then had to throw it all the way back to complete the double play. So again, inexperienced at the position, Chavis made a good throw to Bogaerts, who turned it back. But honestly, I think Bogaerts was surprised that he had to throw the ball back. I think instinctively Bogaerts thought, oh no, like he should have just stepped on the bag and thrown it to me and we'd have a double play. Instead, the Red Sox had to make two throws on the play instead of one. So I want Chavis in the lineup. I want him on the roster because he's one of the few guys on that team now that has something to prove. The rest of these guys have all won and clearly are not taking it as seriously as they did a year ago because they were not ready to play the season. Some of that is on Cora. Some of that is on them. Like, let's not exempt the players all the time. The players are veteran guys now. They should know when it's time to play. And this group of millennial Red Sox, as I like to call them, boy, they love to rest on their laurels. If you don't push them, they won't produce. So you've got to push them. There's just no other way with this roster. So I want Chavis in there. But defensively, he needs work. And in terms of game instincts, he needs work. So some of that's going to come with the reps, and ideally you want those reps to come in the minors with a guy who's trying to develop instincts. The Red Sox need a second baseman. Again, it's not ideal for his position. I want him in there. But that play last night, that was easy. You just step in the bag and throw it a second. He made it a lot harder than he needed to. Back to your calls. Anthony's in Weymouth. Anthony, what do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I just wanted to point out, I agree that we need to get Chavis in the lineup, but instead of kind of cookie-cuttering it and putting him anywhere, I was kicking around an idea of maybe putting Benintendi in center, Martinez out to left, and then letting Chavis DH or something like that so we keep the extra bat in the lineup. I just wanted your opinion on it.
So in that scenario, you'd get rid of Jackie Bradley, right?
Correct. Just for a little while. He's been streaky. It looks like he might be coming around, but you never know with him.
No. I'll tell you what, it's an interesting idea. I had not thought of it, and hell, anybody can play left field at Fenway Park. So if you're telling me the idea is to put Benintendi in center, JD in left and DH Chavis, or even put Chavis in left field, I'd entertain that. Yeah, I'd entertain that. I would absolutely entertain that. I mean, the Red Sox need creative solutions right now. So again, second base is where the hole is. That'd be the easy place to do it with Chavis. Put him at second base. Make nice and easy. The problem is he's never played it. And nothing can hurt a team like a double play that doesn't get turned. So I do worry about that sort of thing with the double plays. And that one on Sunday scared me. Because, boy, he looked like he was throwing a grenade to first base. I was giving you those numbers. Rick Porcello a little while ago against Marcus Semien. Semien is in the lineup tonight for the A's. He's batting leadoff and playing shortstop. So we didn't think the offense on the Red Sox, to get back to that, would be a problem. But they have had difficulty scoring consistently. Maybe they're on the verge of breaking out. Who the hell knows? I know they're a better team than they've played here in the early part of the year. I think we all know that. The question is, can they do it now in a relatively short period of time? Because if you're still in the same spot a month from now, and I know a month's a long time, even a few weeks from now, Dave Dombrowski's going to start looking at his roster differently than he otherwise would have looked at it. Short program tonight, as I mentioned. Bruins and Columbus Blue Jackets coming up at the top of the hour. Game 3 of their playoff series, Eastern Conference semifinal playoff series. If you're looking for the Celtics tonight, which we also typically carry, you can find them on WROR 105.7, Game 2 against the Milwaukee Bucks in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Coming up next, Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame, Bob Beers, Judd Surratt from Columbus. Enjoy the game.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.